Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from that epistle reading from James that we read just a few moments ago. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And then in verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Dear friends in Christ, trials and temptations. These are the words that we as Christians use sometimes to describe life as we know it and as we experience it. The words are kind of a cliche for our views on life in this world. And sometimes gatherings of Christians become, well, for lack of a better word, pity parties, as everybody shares the trials and then temptations that they're going through in this life. The trials might be health issues, they might be relationships, financial problems, and on and on. Nobody, of course, wants to talk about the temptations, right? Because our ugly selves then get exposed. But everybody has a temptation that preys on them more than others. Now here's the question. Is this how James comes at the subject of trials and temptations? Well, I don't think so. He comes at them not as a negative, not as something to drag you down, but just really the opposite of that. He talks about the only answer to the trials and the temptations that we seem to love and dwell on. He actually talks about God and what He does in the midst of temptations and trials. James actually reminds us that the giver of every good and perfect gift is on our side. Even in the time of trials and temptation. And really that makes all the difference. Now, I know it sounds hard to believe, but James actually begins his letter in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1 by saying, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Joy. I mean, really? Joy? This month, February, reminds me of the toughest trial I ever had in my life when I'm sitting at Children's Hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas. My son had just fallen into a goldfish pond in the back of my yard, and he would eventually die. A lot of emotions went through my heart, through my wife's, my family's hearts. Joy was not one of them. It was not one of them. I wouldn't have called it that. But that's what James is trying to say to us. That's what verse 12 is saying to us too. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You see, God uses trials to strengthen our faith. Few Christians, you know, I mean, let's face it, very few of us Christians seem to get stronger when it's going easy. I mean, we always talk about iron sharpening iron. What is the other one? No pain, no gain. Those kind of things. The tough times actually move us to run, to flee to the very foot of the cross, to cling to God, to cry out to Him for relief, for comfort, for help in our time of trial. We see His hand and we actually experience God keeping His promises to you and me as He sustains us during our trials. And too many times, well, most of the time, We don't see it until afterwards that God is sustaining us through that. You see, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that includes His ability to take the trials that we suffer in this world and use them to our good, to strengthen our faith in Him and in His dear Son, our Savior. Because Jesus Christ knows all about trials. He knows all about these things that we go through. From having nowhere to lay his head, being, in a sense, homeless, to his arrest, his trial, his beatings, his nailings, a crown of thorns, a spear in his side. He knows our sufferings. He suffered trials beyond what any of us could ever imagine. But he always had his eyes on his Heavenly Father to sustain him during the very trials that God had ordained for him to suffer in order to save us. And in perfect obedience to his Father, he suffered all. And all the while, he had perfect faith in his Father and in the Father's plan for him. In our time of trial, he's right there with us. He knows exactly what we're going through, and he's sympathizing with us. He does more than just sympathize with us. He's the one who actually gives us a strengthened faith through it all. He's the one who will bring us through these trials of life, and he's the one who will give us everlasting life. The crown of life is ours because Jesus, our dear Savior, actually suffered the trials of Calvary for you and for me. So the next time a trial comes, remember our Savior. Remember Jesus. When you're wondering where God is when you're suffering, then go to the cross. He's there to give you comfort, to give you his understanding, to give you his power, and to give you his victory. Go to his word. He's going to speak to you. Go to his table. Receive his body and his blood. You will be strengthened in him. So much for trials. What about temptations? How can temptations be a positive thing? Well, what we know from here in James is that temptations aren't God's fault. No temptation comes from God. And certainly our falling into temptation isn't God's fault. We'd like to blame God for all of this. Maybe we'd even like to blame the devil. Some of you all here remember Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it, right? We'd like to blame somebody else. Isn't he the one? Maybe if we're blaming God, isn't he the one who created us with this desire in the first place? Maybe it's sex or hunger or whatever. Well, he did. But he did not create us to abuse the desires that he gives to us. That came later. But whether we like it or not, we can't blame God for temptation or for our falling into temptation. James makes it very clear that we have to look no further than ourselves, right, for the problem of temptation. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Each person by their own desire. You see, temptation's always around us. It's always around for all of us. And as God told Cain, it's always crouching at the door. And we struggle with it. We feel guilty when we fall into it. We make up our minds to defeat it, but we can't. We won't. We fail when we trust in ourselves to overcome it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a series of Bible studies for an underground seminary in Germany during World War II called Temptation. He dwelt 10 Bible studies on this. And in one of them, the thing that always just drives itself, you know how you'll read something and one point always comes out? He goes and he says, you know, the moral Christian, the Christian that thinks that the moral Christian thinks to himself when temptation comes that God will somehow lift him up and place him there and will give him the strength to resist that temptation. And he does. But that's not how it feels. He said, rather it feels as if God has abandoned you. When you're facing temptation, you're standing there and you feel like everything has abandoned you, like the rug has been pulled out right from under you. This rug of your own moral and wonderful strength that you've built up through all of the things that you've done for God. Notice the emphasis there. It's all the stuff that you've done for God. It's not relying totally on God to do it, to resist the temptation for you. That's the thing. It's a slippery slope. Excuse me. You see, we can't do it on our own. We will always fail when we're relying on ourselves to overcome it. So what happens? Well, God comes to the rescue. He brings us His good and perfect gifts. He brings us the message, the word of truth, the gospel. And that gospel tells us that God gave us the very best, good, and perfect gift. And that gift was the gift of His Son. He knows what trial is, and He absolutely knows what temptation is. Not only was He tempted by Satan in the wilderness for just those 40 days, He was tempted for a long time after that. Those weren't even the greatest temptations that Jesus faced. The greater temptation, and I would say the greatest temptation that Jesus faced, was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. When He's on His knees, sweating blood, and saying to God, "If it is Your will, let this cup pass from Me. Yet not My will, but Thine be done." His greatest temptation was not to go to the cross, to not let His hands be nailed or His feet be nailed, to not endure the suffering, the pain, the trials that He faced. That was His greatest temptation. He could have swept His hand and everybody would have been defeated. His greatest trial was when He was tempted not to suffer and die for you and me. And He overcame that temptation. He went to the cross for you and for me to pay for all of the times that we fall into temptation. He's the only one who can defeat temptation for you and for me. You see, we're His children. We're His first fruits, as James calls us. We've been reborn by our baptism. We belong to God. We're His special possessions. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. And we have the forgiveness for all the times that we've fallen into temptation. We receive the crown of life in Jesus Christ. We receive heaven itself, like the children said. We receive the power that we need to go through this world of trials and temptations. So, what is He doing about it? Well, He's feeding you with His Word. That Word sustains you and me. That Word reminds us Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. He strengthens us in his promises of his constant presence, his sympathy, and his understanding of what you're going through. Because he's been there. His victory is yours. And even if you fail, he's going to pick you up. He picks you up. He forgives you. He prepares you by the power of his word to strengthen your faith for the next time that temptation comes. And he does the same thing through his supper. He's feeding you with himself, his body and his blood that suffered and was shed for you. He strengthens your faith, forgives your sins, and gives you the crown of life. You see, God knows all about trials and temptations. He sent his only Son to actually suffer them the same way you and I do, and to give you and me all that we need so that we can come through the trials and the temptations of this world and to receive the crown of life that Jesus Christ won for us on the cross and at that empty tomb where he gives us the promise of life eternal with him. Trials and temptations are with us for a short time. Heaven's forever. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.